We've been blessed with an opportunity to come together, have wonderful hymns unto God, and certainly prayers and the praise that can edify any of us, and another opportunity to study God's Word. It's good to be with you and appreciate the opportunity of studying again with you. If you have your Bibles, look with me to 1 Peter, the first chapter, 1 Peter, the first chapter, and Peter is very much concerned about the holiness of the people of God because they are facing some very, very difficult things ahead. And he mentions this in the first chapter, but over in the fourth chapter, he tells them that it's going to get worse. And he says, don't think it's strange of the many things that are about to try you. But when you come to the first chapter, verse 13, you come to a therefore statement in this letter. And he makes this statement, and that's what I wanted to study with for a few moments. In verse 13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter has summed up several thoughts, and just magnificent thoughts, that he would write about children of God all the way through about the first 12 verses or so. When you look back, for example, in verse 2, he says, you're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, of obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that itself is a beautiful thought, just the things he puts in there. Just talking about this election, being chosen of and selected by God. Well, look in verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They had been born to a living hope, or reborn to a living hope. Verse 4, he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven. And we can make a whole sermon just there on that one verse about what is reserved in heaven for them. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. They are kept by the power of God. And then he goes into verse 6 through 9. But in verse 6 he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. He is talking further about their attitude toward this when he makes the statement further down. He says, in the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, the genuineness of their faith. And even in the last few verses there, verse 10 through 12, he talks about the outstanding, distinguished people who led up to them and wrote things and talked about things of God that would benefit them. Verse 10, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he would suffer. He's talking about things the great prophets talked about that would come to them through the Spirit of Christ that was revealing things to them. Verse 12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel. Tremendous blessings. I mean, just tremendous studies and just looking up words and concepts and thoughts and running them back and forth. You can study it for quite a while. And these blessings is what Peter is mentioning, just rapid fire through about the first 12 verses. And then he comes to verse 13 to therefore. And he says that quite often. I don't know how many therefores there are in the first letter of 1 Peter. There's 9 or 10. And there's only 5 chapters, but he's got 9 or 10 where he just makes a therefore statement. And like we always say, the therefore is, what's it there for? It's to summarize what he's been saying so far. What's he trying to impress upon us? that all of these blessings led up in his thinking to a therefore about our hope. And what wonderful lessons we can learn from that. And so I want to talk for just a little while this idea about gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, fortifying our hope. How do we do that when he makes this statement here? Read with me again. Look how he says it. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He wants them to put their hope in a certain place. He's talking about what they're going to do with their hope. He says, I want you to strengthen your hope, a resolved hope, or fortifying your hope. And that's the point that I wanted to discuss with you for just a few moments that he's taken 12 verses to lead up to. And so I just suggest to you, first of all, say, well, what's necessary to our hope? And I'm talking about right here in this verse where we read verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and do something with your hope. But before that, we got to deal with that gird up the loins of your mind phrase, whatever that's talking about. And we don't talk that way. King James people did. And the New King James people, when they did their translation way, way back there, decades ago, 1982, I think is when it was, they decided to keep many of these phrases in there. But this, what does that mean when it says, gird up the loins of your mind? If you said that to somebody out at the mall, they'd call the police on you or something like that. But you look at other translations, and I think you can understand it. English Standard Version says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. Or Contemporary Jewish Bible says, therefore, get your minds ready for work. Contemporary English Version, be alert and think straight. Again, kind of dropping the metaphor. He says, I want you to do something with your mind. And it has something to do with your hope in Christ. And again, read it with me. He says, taking one of these statements that we read, I don't know, whatever translation you may be reading, get your minds ready, is what he's saying, to be sober and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you read this statement, prepare your minds and rest your hope. He's wanting us to make a deliberate decision. He's given them all of these wonderful blessings and just mentioned them that commentaries can write pages and pages and pages about the first 12 verses. But then he gets to verse 13. He says, I want you to do something with your mind so you can do it with your hope. He says, I want you to put out of your mind anything that would keep you from focusing up on your hope in Christ. And that's where it gets difficult, isn't it? Because he's actually telling us how to think, isn't it? He's telling us to do something with our minds, to put something out of our mind that would get in the way of us having the hope he wants us to have, to put things away from our life, whether it be worry or doubt or fear or obsession with material things or something of that nature. Remove those things from your mind and prepare your mind to serve the Lord, to be a person that thinks first of the Lord, to have a mind that can have a strong hope in the Lord. And Jesus is what was teaching. Jesus himself taught this. Look back with me in Luke 21. In Luke, the 21st chapter, we look down toward the end of the chapter, Luke, the 21st chapter, verse 34. Jesus says this, Luke 21, verse 34. He says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing. Mine says carousing. Others say dissipation or other words like that. It's actually a word generally that means to waste your life, to waste your opportunities to spirituality. But don't have your hearts weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, that day and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Jesus is warning them the very same thing, isn't he? He's saying, be careful what you're thinking about. Be careful how you define your life and everything about your life and all the demands that are made of you in your life. Such things hinder us from placing our true hope in its proper place. And it does not bear a fruit that would cause us to grow in the Lord. And that's what he wants us to see. And then he goes on to say, verse 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. We're talking again, as Peter is concerned, how so many times children of God allow so many things in their life to get in the way of daily thoughts, get in the way of serving the Lord, maybe doing what's right, maybe having prayer as a part of their daily life. You're in Luke, the 21st chapter. Look back at Luke 8. Luke, the 8th chapter, is where Jesus is telling the story of the parable of the soils, and you remember that. And that parable fits right in here. Parable of the soils, Luke 8, verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and we won't read down through all of them, but we look at verse 14. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. So, coming back to our point here, as I read it in my King James Version, despite the fact it says, gird the loins of your mind, get through that, get beyond the metaphor of it, and recognize that he wants us to do something with our minds, prepare our minds, think clearly about what God would have us to do. And then he says, be sober. That's an easier one. I think we all know what be sober would mean. Be sober is defined as to be calm and collected in spirit, to be temperate, and to be circumspect. It carries the general idea of being self-controlled. Well, that gets tough, doesn't it, when we talk about self-control? The idea of looking at life and not having our purpose and our goal and our walk with the Lord distorted by worry and doubt and fear and fuming and all of the things that can demand our attention. I mean, just drags us back and takes us away from any confidence that we have in the Lord. But that we are to have a resolve of calmness and seriousness in the service of God. Just like we read a moment ago back there in Luke 21, where he says, watch therefore and pray always. We can't afford to be unconcerned and sort of drift along and think all the thoughts of the world and be disciplined in thinking what my life is all about and what's the purpose of it. I mean, if we can understand that Peter says in 2 Peter 1, add unto your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, emphasize that in our life, then we can understand Peter saying here, do the same thing with your hope. And that's so very important. And because it's amazing, come back again to 1 Peter, he starts off in these wonderful blessings, the first 12 verses, and again, you can just spend hours reading these thoughts and developing them of the wonderful blessings they have. And then in verse 13 says, therefore, having all of this, you're going to have to do something. And it means, if you continue reading past 13, it says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. Verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy. In what? In all your conduct. He's making a point here for us. So Peter is Peter writes a letter to them, and he tells them in the first chapter, he says in verse 6, I recognize your suffering, and you suffer grievances from time to time. And when he gets over to the fourth chapter, he's going to tell them, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial that's coming your way. What? How do they fight that? How do they stand so strong? He says, because I want you to focus your thoughts upon the hope that is before us. So what was necessary to our hope was, first of all, when he makes a statement, girding up the loins of your mind, if you've got the older translation, and being sober. That's the first thing we're going to have to do if we're going to be able to do anything with our hope in Christ. Well, then look with me secondly. Our duty. Just read it with me again, verse 13. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. And rest your hope fully on the grace. This is his main point. Really, the second phrase is his main point. He says, and rest your hope fully upon the grace. This is something I've got to do this. This is an exhortation to me. Rest my hope. It means in one commentary made the statement, it says to set our hope perfectly, unchangeably, without doubt and without despondency. New American Standard Version said, fix your hope completely on the grace that is to come. Therefore, Peter is exhorting us to stop and think about what we're doing, who we are, what we've achieved so far, what we've gained so far, how we became children of God. And he's wanting us with our mind to say, I want you to make your hope complete and strong and not wavering. And we are the ones to cultivate this. And this is our duty. He said, I'm writing to you. Again, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully. Do this. Pray about it. Study about it. Think about it. Dwell upon it. But you do this. The cultivation of my hope in the Lord is my duty. The Lord has given to us all of these things that we read about. We're elect according to the foreknowledge of God and the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Tremendous thoughts. Now, what am I going to do about it? He says, you rest your hope on these things that are coming. What Paul say in Romans 12? Romans 12 and the first couple of verses where Paul says, I beg you, brethren, I beseech you to present your bodies what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your spiritual service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of what? By the renewing of your mind. How do we change our life? We change the way we think. And that's not anything new. I know psychology has found that in the last 150 years. The way we think is certainly the way we act and conduct ourselves. But that was in the Bible all along. Proverbs 23, as a person thinks in his heart, so he is. But here's the apostle saying, I want you to think about what you're doing. And it manifests itself in different ways. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, he says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You do this. It's a demand that is made of us. And if we're going to understand that we can develop in our heart and mind, adding into our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, then certainly we're going to do this with our hope. For without a strong hope, I mean something that we visualize and we can see and we sing about, we're going to waver. And I've seen so many members of the church do that. And I don't care for what reason. Have so many things happen in their life. They would waver because of doubt, because of depression, because of fear. Just so many things. And what might affect you might not affect me, and what might affect me might not affect you. We've all got to make these decisions and realize what God expects of me. The strengthening of my hope is essential to me being a joyful, victorious Christian. This is the only way it's going to be. This is why Peter writes this letter. He says, don't be surprised about the fiery trial that's coming. He said, that's just part of life. And he said, I want you to know how you're going to deal with this. The main point of 1 Peter 1:13 is for you and I to recognize this is something I've got to do. I came to a point in my life one time where I recognized I need to obey the gospel. And every one of us did the same. Same thing happens then. Now what? I'm going to think the thoughts of God's word. I'm going to live as a person of hope. And I want to strive to make it stronger in my life. And just as we grow in faith and love, we're to grow in hope and keep that visually before us. And he gives us that thought. Let me suggest to you number three, identifying the focus. Isn't it fascinating, though, of the thing that he says, I want you to think about? Focus on the fact that you heard the gospel and know the gospel and you obeyed the gospel. Not what he said, although that's powerful, that you're a part of the Lord's church, the Lord's body. You wear the name of Christ, and you're a part of the greatest group in the history of the world who have the faith of the Son of God. That's good, and that's true. But that's not what Peter says here, does he? Back in our verse, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's the idea of Jesus' return again, isn't it? Just like Paul was talking to the Thessalonians about the return of the Lord, Peter talked about it all the time also. When he says, and rest your hope fully on the grace. You know what grace is? Unmerited favor, I think, is what we've all heard. It is receiving something that we didn't deserve. And it's going to be the grace that we receive when our great Lord returns. And all of these verses in between, as we read here in the first part of the chapter, like verse 4, that we have been begotten to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He's talking about this very idea. And then, like verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Or verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In view of all these verses, is this focusing upon the return of Christ, the coming of our Lord, the wonderful graciousness and power that would be demonstrated, the wonderful praise and honor and glory that will come our way, that we're to think about, that we're to look at. Indeed, we're to look into the future and look beyond our death, beyond our sufferings and our sorrows, beyond our plight, to where we think about the complete and final salvation that we have in that heavenly city. We sing a song sometimes, it won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till what? Jesus shall descend. We sing that. That's what we think. If we can sing it, we can think it. And that's what allowed people to continue to face whatever came their way. What is our calling as we look at this? To sojourn here as pilgrims. Let's see, verse 1, just the beginning of the letter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. What's a pilgrim? Someone who's traveling. Someone who is, they're not at home. They're on their way home. They sojourn as pilgrims. Look over in the second chapter down at verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable. We should be concerned about these things. Because that's the way the people of God always were. If you back up with me a couple of chapters to a couple of books, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, you remember verse 13, where Paul says, Hebrews 11, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Every one of the people of faith were like that. That's what you and I are to be. And that's why in the very next verse, and those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Therefore, God's not ashamed of them. We need to heed Peter's exhortation in our day and time, in our very life. There's been bad times before us. I think there'll be bad times after us, but we're going to have bad times in our lives. We're going to have things that demand our attention and want to drive us to fear. But freeing our minds from all of the things and focusing our minds that one day upon this earth the Lord will return keeps us focused on who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. And being more serious about the kinds of lives that we live would help us to live in that way. There are many problems that Christians have today. Christians so many times lose their hope. And I don't think it's they don't have any hope. I think it may be because of all the things happening in their life. They may be weak or shallow and may be easily derailed, kind of like what we were reading over in Luke, the 8th chapter. And so we need to wake up just a moment and think about who I am, what I am, what's my purpose in life, what is my sojourn and my pilgrim's path here on this life to serve the Lord. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24, therefore be you also ready, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour you think not. What a tragedy it would be for us who are children of God, who wear the name of Christ, to be surprised at the coming of the Lord. Let us never do that. Let us be always ready. And let us build our hope on the return of the Lord. If we can believe that He is Lord of lords and King of kings, you can know He's coming back. And that's such an important idea. And that's where Peter starts. And we'll look at some of the other therefores later on. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ, you need to be. And we extend to you heaven's invitation to be a child of God. Nothing more, nothing less. To take the gospel of Christ as your purpose in life, your very standard in life. To serve the Lord and walk with the Lord through that wonderful gospel. To walk in the light as He is in the light. If you have the faith strong enough to stand and confess Him and be baptized into Christ, we'd be more than happy to assist you. Then maybe a child of God, maybe you haven't lived like you should. Maybe you need to do some thinking on your own or reflecting on what's my life all about. What if my life ended today or tomorrow or the next day? It's going to end one of these days. Am I prepared for that? Will I hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? If you're a subject, would you please come as we stand and sing?